call thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put on him, put a ring on his hand and a shoe on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son that was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray an anointing on your word. We pray a blessing on this service. Touch our ears, Lord, that we might hear. Touch our heart that we might receive gladly. We pray in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hand before you be seated. Tell them you're glad to see them here today. We're talking today about God's love and separation from God's love. And we go to Romans 8, verse 31. Now I'm going to be talking to you from there. And this is where we say, what shall we say then? The Lord is talking to us, or we are talking to each other, and we ask the question, what shall we say? And this is saying we take our take in the matter, what we have to say about the subject. What have we to say about what's happening? So he said, what shall we say? So what is it that your input into the matter? And he said, if God be for us, that means if God is on our side, on our behalf, no man can be against us. Isaiah 54 and verse 7. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. God has given us a love, an everlasting love. And with such great love, he has bought us with his blood. So there is no separation between us and God. We read a while ago about the Father and the Son. And it is no separation. If you have become a son or a child of God, there is no separation. You've got the blood of God in you. You've got his DNA. So you can never be unsonned or undaughter. You are a child of God. Even by adoption, we are bought with the blood. We have bought into this thing. And therefore, we cannot be separated. He does not give us his love, then take it back. God spared not his son, but he gave us his son. John 3:16, and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave us his son. Whosoever believe in him should not perish. So if we believe, that the first step of becoming a child of God. If God can give up his only son for us, what else can't he do for us? We are so special that a mom and a dad would have their children, and the most expensive gift, they go out of the way to show their love for their children, and they would have bought it and give it to their children because they love them, just to show their love. Therefore, God gave his son to us to show his love for us so that we can understand that if we can't see that God loves us, we are blind. That's why the scripture said, if the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, because we cannot see And the devil has blinded our mind so we cannot see or come to the knowledge of this truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And he said, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Why do we do that? Because we are connected to him. And in the spirit, which are God. So we have connected to the Lord in many ways, both in body, soul, and spirit. And I say to you today, we are not a soul. We don't have a soul. We are a living soul. You misunderstood me. We don't have a soul. We are the soul. We are a living soul. The Bible said, and God breathed his breath in us, and man become a living soul. Amen. So we have been bought into this. We are connected to God in more than many ways. We are no more. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 7:23. And let's read also. And he said, you are bought with a price. Be therefore no more servant of men. So if you are son, you are royalty. You are not a servant. And the Bible in Romans 6, it said, you are not a servant to serve sin. And if we are servant of sin, we are his servant. And to whom we serve is our master. So we are either servant of righteousness, which becomes God become our master, or we are servant of sin, and the devil becomes our master. So we are bought with a price, a great price. So we are sons of God, and we are no more servant of men to serve sin. So we are connected to God through his great love. Romans 8, or Ephesians 2:19 said, we are no more foreigner. We are no more foreigner. We are in. I was a foreigner to this country at one stage. But I came and I got myself joined as a citizen to this country. So I am no more a foreigner. I am a citizen, and I cannot be uncitizen. No matter what, you are born here, and there are certain things that you are entitled to. I have become a citizen, so that gives me the right to be the same thing as you that was born here. I have the right to vote, and I have the right to do everything, because I am not a foreigner anymore. I have been connected by naturalization to become a citizen to this country. We were once a foreigner to God, but now we have been naturalized into this royal priesthood, and therefore we are no more foreigner or stranger, but we are sons of God, and sons cannot be disconnected from the parents. You know, a mother as a child, it grew up, and that child might be rude. And it doesn't matter how rude a child is. A child become a thief, a killer. But mom still have a love for that child regardless, because she has given birth to that son. And that child cannot be unson. She is connected to him because she is become a part of her from birth. The blood connection is there. So it is through the birth of Christ. We are connected to God. And therefore, he said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Romans 8 and verse 1 said, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have been buried with him in baptism, and therefore we rise to walk in newness of life. So we are not connected to the flesh anymore, but spiritually connected to the God, to God by baptism. When we put on the name of Jesus, the scripture says we have put on Christ. And if therefore, as the Father said to his servant, bring him a robe, and it has been put on to us, that means we have the cloak of righteousness, which is God upon us. So we are not condemned by sin anymore, but we are alienated from sin and be naturalized to God through his precious blood. In verse 34 of Romans chapter 8, God wants us to understand where we are in him, who we are in him. Who is it that condemns us? Nobody. Once you have become a child of God, hold our head up high. Walk with our chest bold, because nobody can condemn us, because we are Christ. And the devil will put condemnation in our lives, but we got to remember that who we were yesterday, what we become today, or last night, we have put on the name of Jesus. Therefore, yesterday's action is gone, and you're looking at a new person in Christ. So therefore, we cannot be condemned by our action of yesterday after we have been connected to God today. Who we were, we cannot be condemned. Therefore, the devil cannot point finger and say, no, I remember you. Yesterday, you were doing so and so. You'll say, no, devil. This is a new person you're looking at. I've been blood washed. I've been bought. And therefore, your days of condemning is over. You have nothing on me, devil. You are no longer in control of my life. God is. So he said, who is it that condemns us? Nobody. It is Christ who died for us. And if Christ been died for us, then they give us the right to be no more a servant of sin, but of righteousness. And God is the one that make it intercession for us. Christ is the bridge. 1 Timothy 2:5 said, there is one mediator. And there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. There was a stage where somebody tried to tell me that there is a difference between God and Christ. I said, God become man. And there was a distinction there, because God plays two roles. He is flesh and he is spirit. And therefore, there are certain things that Christ was limited to do, because he was man and he was spirit. He was led to be tempted of the devil as a man, but in the spirit, he discharged Satan and he take away his power. He said, Satan, it is written. And let me tell you now, I am God, and thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So therefore, we have a stand to take. Christ, the man, is the mediator between us and God. But God is a spirit which was in Christ, moving in a body of a man. I taught once that we talk about ghosts and spirits. The devil doesn't have a body. It's a spirit. And therefore, the devil waits until you die, and he sees that body, and then the Bible calls it familiar spirit. There's spirit that knows what you do, imitate what you're doing. And all it does is it imitate that person, take on the actions of that person. But the scripture tells you once you're dead, you're absent in the body, you're present with the Lord. So that person has nothing to do with what Satan wants to show you that's walking around, tell you, oh, I see John Brown and he's walking and he's living in that room and you cannot go in there. As a child of God, I said, put me in there because both of us not going to stay. One of us going to have to leave. So it's a familiar spirit that takes your action and it does everything that you, all it do is mimic what you are doing and that's all you can do. And that's why we call them evil spirit. You never hear them say it's a good spirit coming around. It's evil spirit. The devil mimic your spirit after you're dead and put on, get into your flesh. You walk around and some people say, yeah, I see him. Yeah, you didn't see me. You see what the devil wants you to see of me. Because I am with absent here in the flesh and I'm connected to God in heavenly places. So that's why we in the spirit have power over ghosts and evil spirit, and we can discharge them and tell them to leave. And they are to obey because we are God's people. We have put on Christ, and just as Christ dismissed Satan, we have the power to do the same thing. God does not see our sins or see us sinfully after we put on Christ, because the blood covers us. And therefore, we have been washed and cleansed by the blood. So God does not see us as sinners anymore because we are walking and guided by the blood. So when he looked at us, even though we were sinners, he sees the blood which covers us. And therefore, we are connected to God through the blood of Christ. Verse 35 said, God is love. And this is an everlasting love. This is a love unconditionally. You know, I'm connected in many ways to my wife. I am helpless and sometimes lost without her. And there are times that life, or in life, there becomes challenges, tests, and struggles. And I remember when I was able to work, the guys at work used to look at me and tell me, he said, you don't have any problem. And, you know, you're so laid back about everything. But I told them, I don't keep problems. I see things as challenges, and I address them. I see things as just a test. And we have to have struggles in life. But we should not be condemned because we have struggles and problems. Because all of these come to prove who we are, where we stand with God. Because I take my troubles to God. I take my problems to God. He said, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for us. So why should I be walking with problems? I give them to the Lord and he solved them. I create them, but I don't keep them. I give them to God and God take care of them. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to him. So I live from day to day through Christ, because I seek God first and I tell God what I need. And he take care of my needs. He didn't promise me he's going to take care of my wants. But I live from day to day to see God moves in my life, taking care of my needs. This past week or 2 weeks, you know, I've been faced with some challenges. Because I have to go to the doctor for therapy every day for different parts of my body, my shoulder, my knees, my feet, and my joints. Sometimes I can hardly fold a fist because my joints are not moving, they're not working the way they're supposed to be. So I have to go for therapy. And every time I go, it's $40. But I said, God, I need to go in order to stay functional. But you need to provide these copays for me because I'm not working. And the only person who's working is my wife. And I have to lean on her. And everybody, they used to tell me, who is the man in the family? And I say, I might be the man, but my wife is the boss. And most of us men will conquer, will also tell you that it is. Because when they give you an on-do list, you never say, well, I'm not doing it. So if the boss gives you a job to do, you're going to do it. And the job is finished, you say, well, it's finished. So who do you report to? The boss. So who is the boss? Who give you the on-do list? Who tell you that this needs to be done and you get it done? Who tell you that the yard needs to be cut, is getting high, and you got to get out there and mow the lawn? So who is the boss? The person who is giving you orders ought to be the boss. So I said, well, I'm the head in the family, but I'm not the boss because I ask her for things. I ask her to get things done. And if I was the boss, I'd just step over her head and do things. And I do things in life which affects me greatly. If it affects her, it hurt us. It make us happy, make us proud of each other. But at times, it discourages us. So that proved to show that we are connected together. And even though I said I love her, and she said she loved me, there are things that I do that she's not pleased with. But we are still connected as husband and wife. And therefore, there are times that she's going to speak out and say, well, I didn't like that, or I don't like this. And what do? I adjust my situation, and I make it so that she's happy. If she's not happy, nobody in the house is happy. And who cooks and clean and wash around? And so if I want all these things to be done, I have to make sure that I'm connected, stay connected, so that all these things can be done. So it is with God. We have to stay connected to Him. And the only thing about it, you know, in human beings, they get discouraged and they ask for separation and divorce. But God never divorced us. He never separated Himself from us. He's always with us. So what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are connected to Him. And it goes on to say, shall tribulation. And I look up the word tribulation. And it's an oppression, an affliction, trouble, you know, anguish, a burden. But that cannot separate us in life. Our troubles is over when we give them to Christ. Our burdens should be laid on Him. So our tribulation, we should take it to God and do not let this be any separation between us and God. And He says, shall distress, and this is extreme affliction, dire calamity. That's affliction, distress. But I don't worry about this because I just give it to the Lord and He'll take care of it. So this also will not separate me from the love of God. Persecution. And we are being persecuted every day. Bible said we are killed all the day long. We are brought as a lamb to the slaughter every day. But persecution will not separate me or you from God's love. God loves us unconditionally. Famine, and this is lack of, and hunger, security. This will not separate me because the Lord promises us our daily bread. So we will never go hungry, and we will not lack of anything if we trust in God. It's almost 4 years or a little more that I've not been able to work physically. But God's taking care of me. So through tribulation, yes, I have a lot. Didn't keep them. Distress, oh yes, that too. Persecution, oh yes. Famine, I don't stress myself over them because I'm leaning on the Lord to take care of this. So in spite of all of this, I am still connected to God. And these are times that we should call upon the Lord when we're going through these things. Nakedness. And this is a lack of danger. Or nakedness or bare. No clothes. But he clothes us in righteousness. So if we stay faithful to God, we are covered by his righteousness. So nakedness, no, we are not in the cold because God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's a present help in time of trouble. And peril, severe danger. No danger shall come nigh thy dwelling if you trust in the Lord. If you believe in God, stay focused. You're covered by the blood. And I mean, this is more than a bunker. Nothing can move or damage you when you're in God's love because you're covered by the blood. You remember the story of the Egyptians and the Israelites. And they said, you should put the blood over the lintel of the door because the angel of death is going to pass over. Some of the Egyptians, they believe, and they also put it over their door. And they were protected by the blood, even though they were not in the sheepfold. But the Bible said, other sheep I have which is not of this fold, but he will draw them. So if your neighbor is getting a Bible study from you, if your neighbor is listening to you as a child of God, and your action and your deed, and they believe in Christ Jesus, they haven't yet baptized, but there's certain danger that they are alienated from because they believe in Christ, and because of you, they are covered by the blood. That's why the Bible said, a saved spouse, the unsaved spouse, is covered by the prayer of the unsaved spouse. So you are connected somehow through the person that is linked to God. Therefore, you are not separated from God's love. You are there under his protection. A young child, before they come to the case of maturity, they are connected, are covered by the blood through you. So we are connected to God, and we should not be moved by perils and also by sword. And this is great slaughter, massacre, a lot of killing. We are connected to God. And therefore, he said, as it written, for your sake, you're killed all the day long. I just went through that. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers in Christ. So therefore, we should remember who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, and we can be what we are or what we can be in Christ by just staying under the blood. Because nay, in all these things, whether it be tribulation, whether it be distress, whether it be persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or a sword, you are a son or a child of God, and you cannot be unson or unchild. You are connected to God, and you are always covered by His blood. There are times that we walk away from God, but who don't? And we look on people that are stray far away from God to be a backslider or a sinner. But we who are close to God, we also sin. And right now somebody is saying, not me, liar, and that's a sin. So therefore, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we have read earlier, the prodigal boy, he left home to a foreign country. But he was connected to daddy, because daddy sat by every day, looked through the window, hoping that he will come back home, because the son who left home and the son who stayed at home, they both have the same DNA of the father. So they are connected to the father. So the father loved them just as much, whether they are home or they are astray or not at home. But we as Christians today, we look at someone because they are not coming to church regularly, and we say they are backsliders, and therefore they are far from God than we were in Christ Jesus, and sin daily. It might be a small sin. You know, the difference between us and them, they are practicing sin openly, and we are practicing sin secretly. Because sometimes, you know, we do some things and we say some things. We have to ask God for forgiveness and pardon for them. But these son that goes too far away from God, they are not able, or they don't ask God forgiveness as often as they should. But they are still a son of God. They are still your brother and they are still your sister. And therefore, we should pray that they come to the realization and said, one day like the prodigal son, oh man, I'm in bad shape. Look what I could have had if I was home. And say, well, I will arise and go home to my father. And I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned. And then that will bring them closer to the father, where he can put his robe upon him. And before that, he hugged him and kissed his neck. But when he was far away, he was not able to get a hug and a kiss. So it is with us. Because we are so far away from God, we don't have that closeness and that hug that we're supposed to get. But we are still God's children. And we are not separated from him. We are the one who pull ourselves away from that hug and from that kiss. But the moment we say to ourselves, we will go back to the Lord, or we'll go back to our Father and say, Father, we are sin. But before the word can come out of our mouth, God knows what you are saying and what you're thinking before you think it. And therefore, with open arms, he comes to receive us. And he said, hey, just clean him up. Just put a robe on him, put a ring on him, because he's a son and he cannot be a son. So we cannot be separated from God. Let the devil know that he's a liar. We are more than conquerors. We are more than in Christ Jesus. So we should know that neither heights nor depth nor principalities, nor power, hallelujah. To conquer is to gain surpassingly victory. In spite of all these things, persecuted, believe to induce by word to believe. Persuaded is for one believe and to induce them to believe. It's like you are witnessing to someone and you want to know them, want them to know who you are, what you believe in, and therefore you're going to entice them to know the word of God, to see for themselves in the scripture, and to let them know how God recognized them to be a child of his. And therefore, that's why you persuade somebody to have a little bit of, he said, just taste it. And then he said, have a cup. And therefore, next time you pour them a big jug, because you have persuaded them to know or to come or to believe in what you believe in. Principalities. These are magistrates, rulers of hierarchies. It could be also angel and demons. But these are rulers in high places. Powers. It's power of great influence, which belongs to royalties. And it also can be riches and wealth, ability and great strength. These are powers. I said, nor heights, things of elevated of space, high in the heavens, also wealth. And it can show great riches. So whether you are of fortune and fame, these are heights. It doesn't matter. Depth. And these are the deepest, as the deepest of the sea. Extreme poverty. You don't have any money. But if you have Christ, you have everything. So neither heights, which is great riches, or depth, which is poverty. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Creature, that means anything created or instituted or ordinances, none of these things. Separate, to depart, to go away, or get rid of. So, whatever it is, neither heights nor depth, or you can say with the riches or poverty, we have a creature which can be institution or ordinances, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, because we have been bought with a price. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So once you become a child of God, you cannot be unchild. You cannot be unsoned. You can separate yourself, but your DNA, the DNA of the Lord is in you, and his blood is running through your vein. So it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it takes. Whether it be tribulation, whether it be distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. So I'm persuaded, that means I'm fully believe. I believe with all my heart that neither heights nor depth, neither life nor angel or principalities or power, nor things present or things to come, neither heights nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to take away our DNA or to tell us that we are no longer a child of God. We are bought into this thing by the blood of Jesus, and God's blood cleanses us. God bless you today. Stay close to the Lord, and if you ever go astray, just say to yourself, I will arise and I will go home, because at home my Father has so many servants, and I'm here being a servant. A son is not a servant, and a son cannot be a son. So let's go back home to our Father and enjoy all the wealth, all the health, all the riches that he has for us. God bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen.